everyone. Thanks for tuning into the Message podcast of Friends Church. My name is Alessandra. I'm one of the team members here, and we're so glad that you're joining us. It's been really encouraging to hear stories from people all over the country and the world who are listening in. We really hope that our messages are resonating with you. We also wanted to say thank you to those who are contributing to Friends Church. All of the things we're able to do, it's because of people who donate regularly. Even small, consistent gifts help a lot. If you haven't had the chance yet to give, I would encourage you to maybe think about doing that, especially if it's been beneficial in your own journey. To do that, it's really easy. Just go to our website, friendschurch.ca, and click on the Donate tab, or download our Friends Church app and click on the Give tab. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy this week's message.
Have you ever kind of witnessed someone doing something? It could have been anywhere. It could have been something right in front of you in a mall. It could have been something you're watching. And the way that they were acting really bothered you. But probably after a moment of thinking about it, maybe you had a moment of like epiphany where you realized, oh no, I do that. I was watching a Netflix, speaking of, show. This was a number of years ago called Black Mirror. Anyone familiar with Black Mirror? Oh man, this is a good one. Any fans of Black Mirror? So if you haven't seen it, I won't go into all the details of all the different shows, but this one particular episode, we're shown this world that isn't far from what we experience every day. It's set in kind of modern days, but almost like a little bit future, just a little bit. And everyone has a rating. There's like this holographic number that's floating right around them. It's a measure of worth that's determined by actually those all around you. It's kind of like Facebook. Someone gives you thumbs up. If you get 15 thumbs up, all right, your rating is pretty good. No one's giving you a thumbs up. So this is how this show is kind of set. You're constantly interacting with people. You're interacting online. And depending on how well you're doing, your number is kind of going up or it's going down. People like what you're posting. People like what you're putting out to the world. And your number starts climbing. Now, the maximum number in this show you could have was a 5. But if you could get your number up like north of like 4.5, oh, life gets better and better. You see, in this world, if you have a 4.5 or higher, people like kind of treat you nicer. You're like kind of, well, you're more valuable. You get better rental car rates. You can easily rent a place because people go, whoa, look at your number. Oh yeah, I trust you, man. But if you're upsetting people, all of a sudden, your number starts coming down. Well, watching this show was eerie. It was a little creepy. Because, I mean, it was set in the future, but you could see uncomfortably that perhaps, just not to an exaggerated state, it is a lot of what happens in this world. It was very disturbing for me because there were parts of what was going down, the interactions, the inauthenticity, people saying things they didn't mean, biting their lip, knowing if they really said what they wanted, their number would, so they would pretend. Or they would do whatever they had to do because really their number determined really how well their life would go. The inauthenticity was really disturbing. I found myself at parts of this show, this episode, just like, oh, this is uncomfortable. And I'll tell you why. because I could see myself in some of the behavior. You see, I've chronically been a bit of a people pleaser. I have difficulty sometimes doing what down deep I really kind of believe I should be doing. Because, well, I'm chasing the thumbs up from someone that means something to me. It's embarrassing for me to admit that. But as I watched the show and the inauthenticity that these people were living with, I was just like, oh my God, is that me? Throughout my life, I recognized this pattern. I remember working for a person in a former church from the time I was quite young. This boss of mine, I wanted so badly to please. I wanted to earn his approval. Whenever he would tell me that something I'd done was good, man, the rush, the feel, and I didn't even know it at the time. But what ended up happening was I built a life of trying to earn his approval. I would show up early. I would stay late. I would work tirelessly. I was a youth pastor, and I would be taking teams of kids around the world. I look back at that window of my life. I did everything I could. In the time that I was working there, I got married. We had kids, Kathy and I. And we look back at seasons within that tenure that almost destroyed us because of this people-pleasing tendency inside of me. I struggled to say no to this guy, even though saying yes to him meant saying no to Kath or my kids. And I wouldn't necessarily see it all building until often I'd come home at night and Kathy would be icy because I'd come home way later than I told her I'd be coming home. Our young boys would be in bed. Hadn't seen them. I didn't see them all day. Got up before they're even up. And I would have these moments of just painful frustration where I'd look at myself in the mirror and go, Jervis, what is your problem? Why do you keep doing this? Why can't you? Kathy would say, like, just say no, Jervis. Like, and it wasn't, you know, like I started waking up to this, and then I'd go, yeah, you know, I gotta say no. I wouldn't ask for a raise. Went years without a raise because I didn't want to upset him. Kathy would be sitting there going, delusion. Like, what are you thinking? And I get mad at her. I think, you're rocking the boat. Don't do this. We got a good thing here. Don't upset things. But then I'd have these other moments where I get mad at my boss and go, yeah, kind of, you are abusing me a bit, taking me for granted. I knew I was doing it. I just couldn't figure out why I couldn't say no. Why I just perpetually ended up in this place. I recognize that this isn't everyone's problem. This is my pattern. But I'm betting that you have a pattern. I'm betting you have some kind of thing going on, whether you can see it or not, that just every now and then in life kind of sabotages, sneaks in and creates problems. It wrecks things for you in some way. For some, it might be this controlling, manipulating thing that comes out every now and then, where you do things to try to get people to do things for you. Some their pattern is like running away. Whenever stuff gets hard or scary or vulnerable, you just head for the doors. You eject. You pull out of a relationship. You ghost them. Some are hiding because you live in a level of fear of the world. And so whenever you feel fear, it's just like it paralyzes you. Some are just in a constant state of pretending, like me, to be something, to earn the approval, or to help, serve, earning. Some people are performing song and dance, thinking as long as I am successful, as long as I got everything under control, I deserve to be loved, or I am valuable. Like, we have patterns. Lots of patterns going on. We're all just trying to get something from life. And we're using certain ways to get what we want. Sometimes, though we might get what we want, it's not in the end what we really want. It's kind of like telling your kid, come over here, give me a hug. And your kid's going, I don't want to give you a hug. And you say, get over here, give me a hug. They come over and they're like this ironing board and you're hugging them. Ah, there we go. Your kid is crying, saying, I hate doing that. You got what you wanted, but you didn't really want it that way, right? It's kind of a picture sometimes of how we end up living our lives. We're maybe getting what we want, but it's not in the way that's healthy. And every now and then when you just step back and you go, what am I? This is kind of messed up. I don't know why I'm doing this. It's got to be a different way. There's this passage the Apostle Paul wrote. You know, Paul is this prolific author in the Bible. A lot, I shouldn't say a lot. There's some of the stuff that it really grinds me, but there's this one passage where it's just like he opens up a part of his soul that I so resonate with. But he says, you know, I don't know what's going on. I need something more. Something's inside of me. I know the right thing I'm supposed to do. I know the law, but I can't keep it. If the power of sin, like there's something inside of me. He calls it the power of sin. There's something working inside of me. And it keeps sabotaging my best intentions. Obviously, I need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes to overcome this thing. I want to do it. I will it. But I can't. I decide to do good, but then I don't do it. I figure out what I don't want to do, and then I end up doing that. My decisions, such as they are, they don't result in actions. He says, something's gone wrong inside of me. It keeps getting the better of me. Do you ever feel that way? Like something just got the better of you? Something kind of sneaks out of nowhere and takes over. And it leaves you at night looking in the mirror going, frick, Jarvis. Stop it. Yeah, stop it. Stop it. Okay, tomorrow. Tomorrow. This morning I want to talk about personal care. And specifically the process of exploring what might be your pattern. Personal self-care is this practice of just stepping back and just observing your pattern or patterns. Looking at it and going, what am I doing? How am I acting or reacting to people in ways that's causing problems at a high level? My guess is that there are things that you're doing, whether you see them right now or you've known about them for a while or you've never seen them, that are tripping you up, that just make life more difficult. And my theory is, if you can see them, well, you're well on your way. Question is, can you see them? Or do you take time very often to see them? You know, over the years, I've worked very hard to understand who I really am. I remember taking this Personality Plus, Florence Littauer, I read the book, and in it, she had this little assessment, and you do the assessment, and it tells you kind of what you are. Classical, sanguine, phlegmatic, choleric, that whole thing. I remember taking it for the first time and seeing the results of that assessment and going, whoa, what? I was young, I was in my early 20s, and I had never done anything like this. But it, when I looked at the results and it started telling me some stuff about myself, I was like, whoa, that's me. Like, they're describing me. I was wigged out by this. I'm thinking, someone just read my mail. It's telling me something about me. And that started the journey. I was like going, wow, there's stuff about me that's unique I never knew before. I jumped into Myers-Briggs. I found out I'm an ENFP on that scale. If you've never taken it, it told me I'm a campaigner. It says, you know, you're a true free spirit, Jeff. You're often the life of the party. You're less interested in the sheer excitement and the pleasure of the moment, but you enjoy the social and the emotional connections that you make with others. I'm like, yeah, that is me. Some ENFPs can be charming. They can be independent. They can be energetic. They can be compassionate. I was like, wow. Felt so nice. And then I start reading about the weaknesses. And then it starts spelling out some of my... I've gone in, I've studied DISC profile, found out I'm a high influencer. Fascination advantage profile told me that I communicate best through passion and prestige, which likely you've never noticed. Marcus Buckingham in his Now Discover Your Strengths profile told me I'm a woo. I win others over easily. It's just part of my, and it was so fun learning all these things about me. It's fun talking about my strengths. Because I could be here a long time telling you about my weaknesses. My type of personality struggles with poor practical skills. I tend to be overly emotional. You've never seen that before. I find it difficult to focus sometimes. I tend to overthink things. Oh, man, I've learned a lot about myself. Let me ask you something. Have you spent much time, like, kind of learning about you? Learning about who you are? Your unique kind of patterns and ways of relating to the world? What do you know about yourself? What do you know about your strengths and what you're bringing to the world that are different from, say, your brother, your sister, your parents, different from those in your family? What makes you unique? Have you thought about that recently? This is an important piece of the puzzle. This is an important part of personal self-care. It's knowing who you even are. Of all the personality profiles, though, that I've filled out over the years, probably the most enlightening and transformational has been the Enneagram. The Enneagram. And it's been amazing for me because it's illuminated some of the things about myself at a deeper level that are beginning to explain why I tend to pull so hard toward these problematic behaviors that kind of sabotage my life. I've known of my weaknesses through these different profiles, but I couldn't figure out what the hell is going wrong. Why can I change? Or is that just me? Do I just throw my hands up at this point and go, well, I am's what I am's? Or is there a way to saw off some of these tendencies that make so many problems? The Enneagram was one of the first experiences I had where it began talking about what Jeff looks like healthy, really healthy, developed, fully orbed in the kind of me that I am, and what I look like very unhealthy, and then degrees of that all the way through. This blew me away. When it started, I learned some stuff about myself. I understand that I'm a 2 on the Enneagram. I'm a 2 with a 3 wing. I'm known as the helper. Love to help. I always used to think this was so admirable. You know, I'm so virtuous, so altruistic. I just want to help people. And maybe you've thought that. Oh, that's so cute that he does this pastoral work. That's so nice that he cares so much. What I began to realize is that part of why I do it is to earn love. Started likely way back. And so it was never just, hey, let me help you. No, underneath were these subtle expectations of people. Oh, I'd never come out and admit it. But there would be deep disappointment when it wasn't reciprocal. Oh. So this Enneagram starts kind of breaking it down, going, look it. An unhealthy 2 with a 3 wing will look like this. But as you progress, you start developing and start moving into this, and you learn these skills. And then you start progressing. And here, let's talk about what a fully orbed, fully developed 2 with a 3 wing looks like. I remember looking at that picture and going, that I want to be. I want to get there. And began this journey of beginning to plumb the depths of my wiring, figuring out, okay, there's something here that's kind of sabotaging. It's tied to some of these things that I'm seeing. The Enneagram tipped me off to something they call shadow work. Anyone familiar with shadow work? Okay, this is new stuff. Carl Jung made it popular, this concept of the shadow. He basically was a Swiss psychiatrist. He theorized that we each have a shadow self. It's the part of you you don't see. It's the part of you that you don't want to acknowledge, if you even can see it. It's the part of you you struggle to accept. That which can be dark or weak about yourself. It's the part of my personality profiles that I ain't sharing with any of you, typically. Now, I shared some of my shadow self just by telling you about my people-pleasing nature, but these are the kinds of things that come out when you start trying to look at what is it? What part of me am I not seeing that's kind of trying to sabotage me? There's this theory that the shadow gets formed from an early age by things that are said and done by our primary caregivers. Could be a parent, someone really influential in your life. They say as early as, you know, prior to the age of 7, a lot of core beliefs about how the world operates get established inside of us. A little boy, in an unguarded moment, begins crying in front of his dad. And his dad gets angry and says, "Shh, you buck up there, pal. Quit being a wussy. Be a man." And in a moment, something starts getting figured out in this little boy's head that being emotional is a sign of weakness. It's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So what happens? That boy begins to guard and edit himself continually, trying to keep that part of him forever coming out, ever showing up, ever surfacing. Now, this happens in 100 different ways, but likely when we're young, things get happen, we develop these core beliefs and it feeds into our shadow. And we don't even know. That little boy, without even knowing what just happened, begins a pattern of life of constantly suppressing emotion. Not even knowing he's doing it. His shadow is there, pulling levers, pulling ropes. He ends up in a relationship with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend says, "You are the coldest fish. Why can't you just tell me what you're feeling? Why can't you just be honest?" And he doesn't know why. Some people, non-affectionate. They don't know why. Someone goes up and they're just like, don't know. Shadow work is that process of kind of diving into the depths and going, what is going on here? What do I believe about the world that may be shaping my responses to those around me? Bringing out these behaviors. It's like this invisible force field that begins to work. It's like kryptonite. And you get into a certain scenario, a certain situation with certain kinds of people, and all of a sudden, a part of you starts acting up. And you're doing everything you can to keep that thing from happening, and out it comes. Yeah, these are parts of our shadow. I've talked to people, and they say, you know what? Let's leave well alone, man. I can start digging into my past, and I'm scared of what I'll find out. I don't want to be finding out that maybe something inside of me is like got a little twisted up or whatever. Here's the problem. These things are controlling you, controlling us, whether we want to admit it or not. They have their hooks in us. Carl Jung said, by not being aware of your shadow, you declare a part of your personality to be non-existent. That's really what we end up doing. People say, are you fine? Yeah, I'm fine. What's the matter? Oh, no, I'm good. Stuff. We begin just suppressing, trying our best to keep whatever is dark or sinister or broken that we think is broken, kind of concealed under wraps. And then every now and then it bubbles to the surface. Carl Jung says, by being aware of your shadow, you declare part of your personality to be non-existent. Then it enters the kingdom of the non-existent, which swells up and takes on enormous proportions. If you get rid of the qualities you don't like by denying them, you become more and more unaware of who you actually are. You declare yourself more and more non-existent. And then your devils just get fatter and fatter. Sometimes we think part of us is broken or ugly or unacceptable. And so we just keep it locked away. Really, it's not that at all. It's not that part of you is broken. Something told you, perhaps, that it's broken. Something eventually just convinced you that this kind of thing would destroy your relationships if it ever got out. So you keep it hidden underneath, but the truth is it doesn't go away. It just keeps building pressure and more pressure inside us. Often, some people will keep under wraps the fact that there is such a competitive drive inside of them. They don't want to admit to that. Some, it is their controlling nature. They don't want to admit that. For some, it's part of their sexuality and ways that they want to express it. But they feel such incredible shame or brokenness around it, so they keep that suppressed. See, the shadow has all kinds of different sides to us. For some, it's their creative side. For some, it's their affectionate side. For some, it's their sensitive side. Whatever it is that we kind of go, I want to keep that part of my world completely concealed, whether it's conscious or subconscious. But as long as you don't see it, as long as you don't name it, it can just keep growing inside, messing with our lives in different ways. For me, personal self-care has been this exploration of what is down deep. What has been my pattern? Where has my pattern been lately? How intentional are the choices I'm making in the way that I'm responding to the world around me? Or how robotic, how instinctual is my patterns kicking in and I'm not seeing it? Personal self-care is kind of this check-in that just says, okay, I've said yes. Now, this is my personal check-in. I've said yes to a lot this past 2 weeks. I have been way overextended. Why am I saying yes to so much? Personal self-care allows me to step back and go, okay, what were my expectations of these people that I'm saying yes to? What am I hoping to get? What's going on here? Why am I doing some of the things I'm doing? Now, this kind of introspection is not typical. Most people are simply getting out of bed and it's just Groundhog Day most days. We're just rinse and repeat. We just keep doing and doing and doing. And if you actually kind of multiply it by 365, there are people that are caught in instinctual chronic patterns for years and years. And they're not seeing it. Don't see how they keep sabotaging a relationship. They keep wrecking things in their workplace. They keep making it difficult for someone to be able to connect with them. It could be their own personal habits, patterns that are affecting their health, their finances. But every now and then, it's like a light comes on and they just for a second catch a pattern. They go, wait a second, I've been here before. Wait a second, I'm dating for 9 months and then I eject. Or I get someone to this point and then I push them away. Hey, wait a second, I find myself, those my best friends are always saying these kinds of things. Wait a second, what? And there's these moments where all of a sudden you catch whiff of a pattern. But oftentimes, it just goes away and we move on. Only to then, rook, 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 day after day, Groundhog Day. So I guess my message really is a simple message today in terms of personal self-care. It's an invitation to stop. Just stop. And look at your pattern. Just look at your pattern. This week I got a text from a guy. He was thanking me for something. And I dismissed his thank you. He says, you're terrible at accepting a compliment. And it was like in that moment, I just went, oh, well, there I go. That's my pattern. I can't be the receiver. I have to be the giver. That's what my two wing tells me. My two in the Enneagram tells me. I go, whoa, what's going on here? I got off a little ways here. Responded quickly. Oh, man. Hey, thank you. Told him thank you. Big smile. Okay, just got off a little bit. Over the past few years, I've begun to recognize there's certain work that I can do to change my game. I need to work on my boundaries. I need to say no more. I need to ask for what I need without any guilt or shame. These are parts of me becoming a level 5 healthy Jeff. The things that I need to do to get me there. Now, the thing is, see, I could, we don't have enough time in a day to talk about all the different patterns that are represented in this room. But and if you don't have even a sniff or whiff of your pattern, then your assignment this week is to do some homework about yourself. Figure out where your tendencies are. I would just invite you to practice some personal self-care this week. Step back from your life. Maybe you've done some of these personality profiles and what you need to do is just go back in and read through the results. See if you can spot some patterns. And in the process, perhaps what will happen is you'll be reminded of things that you might be in right now. You're going, oh my God, I didn't even see it. I'm hoping that's the case for you. For some of you, I come across often some people, they've never done any of this work. I'm going to invite you to invest some time and some money and start doing some homework about who you are. Because until you understand who you are, it's hard to look deeply at all the different levers and buttons that are being pushed that are making you become or do things that you're looking later in the mirror going, why am I doing this? Take a time out this week. The Enneagram is a wonderful, wonderful tool. And if you've never tried it, and if you're into exploring for yourself, your own personal journey, I would climb on. It costs you $12. It might take you at half an hour, 45 minutes to do the questionnaire. And then you got some homework to start reading and start figuring, start learning why you may be doing the things you do that trouble you. A large part of shadow work sometimes is just, it can be laborious. It can be unglamorous. It can be upsetting because you see things about yourself that can be laced with so much shame or guilt. But I'm telling you, you begin to get in there and start putting your finger on the pressure point. You start seeing something that just chronically has been undermining your best efforts. And you start catching yourself when you're about to do it. And you sidestep it. This is why I wanted to talk about this morning, because this has changed so much about the way I live. I don't know of many things that have changed my life more than this process. And I can't recommend it highly enough. It might be a 5-minute check-in today, just going, where am I at? It might mean a counselor appointment where you sit down with someone, you start plumbing down deep into your life, exploring some of those things, naming some of the things that have been there for a while. Perhaps there's some deep hidden resentments. Maybe there's some anger that just boils down below from something that's happened a long time ago. And you just, it's just down there, part of that shadow. I invite you to take a peek below this week. Practice some personal self-care, and it might change your life. I think it will. All right, that's all I got. I want to say a prayer in closing. God, I thank you, the force, the powers that be, are constantly illuminating things in our lives, cracking open windows for us to see who we are, our beautiful sides, our character, our potential. I know that in the process, you're also revealing little things about us. If we could just see them, if we could just open up and accept them, it could be the start of something beautiful. And I pray for that process for people who might be sitting here today going, man, I have been hijacking my life. Something has been hijacking my life. Pray for that person that they would just be open to an epiphany. They could experience it in some way. Amen. Have a great week, you guys. Practice some personal self-care this week. Take some time for yourself, all right? Peace out.